Good morning and welcome to Perspectives, a public affairs program produced by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm News Director Gary Stevens.
We're talking with Josh Leffingwell at the West Michigan Environmental Action Council, one of the groups involved with the West Michigan Water Trail. Josh, tell us a little bit about the water trail. Exactly what does it entail and exactly what is it you guys are trying to do?
Well, there's a number of groups working along West Michigan and actually along the entirety of the Great Lakes looking to expand access for folks to get in and out of the water. And this water trail project that we're working on specifically spans all the way from Benton Harbor all the way up to Ludington. And I guess what we're trying to do is make it easier for folks to both know where it's safe and where it's good to get in and out of the water. If you're a paddler or maybe you're riding on kayaks, or maybe you're even windsurfing.
And it is a question of, hate to say the used term share the road, but it is somewhat similar to a vehicular situation with the roads and highways where you have cars, bikes, and the like trying to share the roadway. It's almost the same thing on a water situation, isn't it?
To a much lesser extent. I guess one of the what we're looking to do is make sure that those who are using these, I guess we're calling them quiet forms of transportation, and it's mostly recreational, just making it safer for those people to get in and out of the water. I think it's less of an issue with sharing the road and more that people who are paddling or canoeing or kayaking or surfing or whatever you're doing, they're having a hard time finding access points, or those access points are very ill-defined. So just making sure that those access points are both available and well understood. It's much less of a share of the road kind of an issue and more just understanding where access points are and what amenities are around those access points.
Josh, when you mention access points, that can sometimes be a hot-button topic for some people, especially residents who live along the Lake Michigan shoreline who jealously and fervently protect their turf to make sure that people don't get in front, in their property and get and walk along those ways. And that's almost as much of a problem as finding access points and allowing people to get to those access points, because sometimes you deal with private property owners who, let's just say, if they could put barbed wire and razor wire up, they do so.
Yeah, so I guess what we're hoping to do is, by defining the public access points, it makes people less likely to go to the private access points. We completely understand those concerns, and so what we're hoping to do is, by advertising and making the public access points more well-known and more visible, it'll make it so that people don't have to rely on private access points to get in and out of water. I think a lot of people who are getting out or putting in at private access points do so because both they just don't know that it's private, and partially because they just aren't don't necessarily know the area as well as they might like to. So by defining those public access points, we think that it'll be a lot easier for people to know where it's safe and where it's not safe to go in and out.
Josh, this is an ongoing project, I believe, with the West Michigan Water Trail. Where does it stand right now? Is it more just informational, or is there really some concrete plans afoot to make this more than just an awareness situation?
So there's many groups working on water trails. The listening session that we'll be having is going to focus specifically on our portion of the plan, which is partnering with Grand Valley State University and Williams & Works, which is a planning firm, to really get an understanding of the hospitality and tourism side of the water trails. What we're hoping to let people know also is that this plan does not, at the end of this plan, it's not going to give you a water trail. What we're hoping to do is gather information so that if people wanted to implement a water trail, they have these plans available, and they really understand the situation of each of these cities. Because, again, we're talking all the way from Benton Harbor up to Ludington, which is a very diverse area when it comes to a lot of the resources. So just making sure that we have what we're hoping to do is just give a good understanding of what the situation is like and give a good planning document. There are folks all around the state who are actually beginning to implement water trails. Up north towards Ludington, there's water trails that are already kind of underway, and up towards Sleeping Bear Dunes, there's already water trails that have already been implemented. So this, the one that we're talking about in Holland, is going to specifically just be getting an understanding of the situation. What do residents think about this? What amenities might they like to see? What barriers do they see? And really just getting an understanding of this community and what their thoughts are on water trails.
Now, Josh, when, with all due respect, when we see a group involved with it, like the West Michigan Environmental Action Council, there is an automatic maybe response to it as, okay, this is just simply a conservation effort. This is something, you know, trying to fight pollution and the like. And that's something that the council is involved with, but this is really not a case of trying to clean up spots or trying to raise awareness of cleaning up spots, at least at this point. That seems to be the gist of what you're saying, is that you guys are involved, but it's not strictly a conservation effort right now.
Yeah, it's the most basic idea of environmentalism, is help people get an understanding of the resources that they have access to. So the more that you allow people to get out into the Great Lakes, and I'm sure you're aware of this and your listeners are aware of this as well, the more you're on the Great Lakes, the more you appreciate them. And so the more we can help people have access to the Great Lakes, that's better for everyone. I think everyone really gains an appreciation for those resources. So we're kind of coming at it from that standpoint. It's obviously helping protect our resources by making them safer for everyone, but it's really just about allowing people to get out to them.
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton, the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and dealing with energy, deals with the Keystone XL pipeline. There is some talk that a state or two might not be in it and all that. We've gotten protesters getting jailed because they've basically put cable ties to the White House gate, employing the president to veto this pipeline. We might be coming down to a decision time on what has been something that's been long delayed.
Well, it's been 5 years since the original request went in. Study after study after study shows the merits of this, not only as a job creator, but as one that can wean us off importing oil from countries that aren't so friendly, whether they be Venezuela, where we've seen tremendous unrest just in the last week or two, whether it's the Saudis, not exactly viewed as our best friends, whole host of reasons to enlist the aid of our best friends to the north, and that's the Canadians. They want to do this. They're at the end of their rope. They're about ready to say, forget it. We'll do it. We're going to produce it, but it's going to be going to China. It's going to be going to India. It's going to be going to someplace other than here. We've spent billions already expanding our refineries, getting ready for this, and, you know, the president okayed the pipeline from Oklahoma to the south, but until the pipeline is okayed to cross the border, it's not going to be any good. And the argument that we don't use oil sands, heck, already today we get 1.5 million barrels from Canada. A lot of it comes right here to Michigan. It's refined over at the Marathon Refinery over in Detroit and piped across the state. So you know, all the arguments really are in support of this, and it's been 5 years of twiddling our thumbs. 5 years, we could have that running by now, and really having a much more positive economic impact here versus having nothing going on.
And these rail situations and the danger of hauling gas by rail just makes it even more imperative with this line.
Well, you know, if the argument is a carbon footprint, certainly rail or truck, and it's going by truck too, is a lot more carbon intensive than it is in a pipeline. Pipelines are the safest. We've John Dingell, now retiring from the Congress at the end of the year, he and I teamed up together in a bipartisan, massive bipartisan bill to upgrade any new standard or any new pipeline for oil and gas. The president signed it into law now a year or two ago. That's in place. It's safest by pipeline. Why do we want to send it by truck or by rail?
That's Perspectives for this week. From the 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for joining me, and listen again next week at this time for more Perspectives.